This evening's lesson is from Psalm 51, verses 1 to 17. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God. You will not despise. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may be not seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Gospel of Christ.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. Lord Jesus, our Redeemer and our Savior. Amen. It is so easy in our lives to walk around and turn a blind eye to our bad behavior and the poor behavior of others, isn't it? You've done this, right? I'm not alone in this. This broken humanness in which we live and have our being, in our turning away from the poor and the downtrodden, the mentally ill, the homeless, the list goes on. Do we not grow in shame of our fallen, self-centered natures? What do you find that draws you off center? Too much TV as you binge-watch Netflix? Or is it a love of money, hoarding, alcohol, legalized substances? Basically, is there anything which seems to lead you to a lower version of yourself? Do you feel a growing discomfort in your heart towards yourself or others or God? But maybe you aren't quite at that point where you are ready to make a decision to change your life for the better. Or how about married individuals who seek out the comfort of others who are not their spouses? Or pornography? Some distorted expression of our need for affection and caring. It happens in our world all the time, before our very eyes, in the silence of our thoughts, our hearts turned from what is true and right. We entertain thoughts that are not our own creation, but seek to entrap us into the downward spiral of our desires. There was a time in my own life, a decade ago, when I came face to face with the cold, hard truth of who I was and who I was supposed to be. As a follower of Jesus, I knew that his standard for my renewed faith and life in him required me to look deep into my own being, into my character. When I did, I found that I had no words to express my inner turmoil and conflict. I went to a trusted Christian mentor to confess, as we are instructed to confess to one another. But instead, he directed me toward God and to the penitential prayer of Psalm 51. In David's words, I found a voice and longing of my own prayer, a confession which immediately resonated with me. I prayed and returned God's word to him. And he set me free, because God's word does not return empty. Now, in Psalm 51, King David prays from a deep sense of guilt over his sin, as revealed to him by the prophet Nathan. The account is recorded in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. We read the story of King David, Uriah, Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, and the prophet Nathan. King David, from high atop his palace, gazes upon the wife of Uriah and sends for her while her husband is away at war. David lays with her, and she becomes pregnant. In his shame, he arranges to have Uriah killed. Then he marries his wife and seeks to cover up his guilt and hide his shame. But God has other plans and sends the prophet Nathan to confront the king of his sin and convict him. God's messenger breaks through. Whatever it is that has a grip on you, it's time to let it go. Today is the day. Just as Nathan the prophet came to King David to convict him of his wrongdoing, so too, tonight, Nathan's words of conviction come to us gathered in this place. For as St. Paul has professed in Romans, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. King David, in his lust for Bathsheba, committed adultery, fornication, then murder at a distance by ordering the army to withdraw from the side of Uriah in the heat of battle, so his death would look accidental, a true casualty of war. Except Uriah's death was not due to an external war. Rather, he was subject to the internal war of his friend and king, who, in his raised authority and stature, had isolated himself from all he had previously known. No longer free to wander the hills of his homeland guarding sheep or triumphing over Goliath in battle, his office and title had relegated him to himself. In some ways, perhaps the heaviness of his vocation had made him vulnerable. Regardless, he fell. Has your life made you vulnerable? In word, thought, or deed? Is it weighing on you tonight in some way? Do you feel the pressing outward of guilt and shame? Do you know what shame is? Shame is a deep, abiding hatred of oneself, directed towards oneself, that we are wrong. It says we are wrong, not that we have done wrong. It is an all-encompassing reality, not unlike what sparked the confession of David in Psalm 51. Shame researcher Brené Brown, in her book titled The Gifts of Imperfection, presents to us the personality of shame. Shame hates it when we reach out and tell others our story. It hates having words wrapped around it. It can't survive being shared. Shame loves secrecy. The most dangerous thing to do after a shaming experience is hide or bury our story. When we bury our story, shame metastasizes. Shame is not repentance. Shame is not guilt. Feeling bad about who we are or what we have done without confessing our wrongdoing to a trusted person or to God does not bring us to freedom, joy, or peace. It brings us closer to death and a hardness of heart which can never know peace. But also, shame is not guilt. And at the heart of Psalm 51 is a story of repentance which is sparked by guilt. For a healthy conscience, guilt motivates us to change, to begin to open to change, to being open to it, especially God's desire for healing in our lives. David, through Nathan's parable of the Ewe Lamb, becomes infuriated with the crime which has been committed in his kingdom. Then, right at this moment, Nathan says, "You are this man. You did this. You did this when you went into Bathsheba." Immediately, David recognizes his sin. His guilt is exposed, and he assumes a posture of repentance. Hear his words again. "Have mercy on me, O God." Nathan's words are timely and true. There is no denying it. David's guilt is exposed. So, in your life, would you have anyone who would be willing to tell you the honest truth about who you are in love? Do you even want to hear it? But that's not really the case, is it? Rather, does Jesus want you to hear it from him? Are you willing to allow guilt to offer you the gift of desperation, to finally be so sick of carrying around your burden that you want to confess it here and now, directly to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Today, Ash Wednesday, is the beginning of the Lenten season. It is a time of self-reflection for the church, for fasting, for penitence, and for reconciliation. Why? Because in 40 days, minus Sunday feast days, we are going to come face to face with the cross. Hear David again. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Now, in the context of the psalm, it might seem though as though David is speaking with Yahweh, and he is, but we are speaking to Christ, to Jesus, who on the cross of Calvary took on the full mantle of sin so that he could reconcile us to God the Father. But David knows that he will be judged by God according to his word when he says, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Then David falls upon God's mercy. For he knows the posture of God is to extend mercy and grace. And we know that too because of St. Paul's self-revelation, who himself was a murderer of the first Jewish converts to Christianity, as spoke in 1 Timothy. He says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Well, now maybe you're beginning to think that this portrayal has little to do with you. And you say to yourself, self, I have committed nothing that's anything close to Paul or David, so perhaps I'm okay. It's a fair thought. But have you ever accepted the wrong change while shopping at a store where you received more change back than you were due, but didn't give it back? Or have you ever seen someone drop something on the street and not attempt to return it to that individual? Or have you ever omitted a portion of the truth to protect someone else who is close to you because you didn't necessarily want to deal with the consequences of the whole truth? I'm sure you get the idea. So, what does God have to say about small, benign sins or omissions? Well, we have in the account of Acts, St. Peter speaking to the Gentiles saying, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. No partiality. Well, Scripture tells us that God treats the rich and the poor alike, for they are all the work of his hands. Yes, it applies here too. Whether a grave and intentional sin or a small and benign sin, whether you commit murder and adultery or gossip behind another's back, it still separates us from the love of God. Then, if this is true, and we finally recognize the error of our ways, we can find a model for repentance here in Psalm 51. It can become our directed confessional prayer to Jesus tonight, now, in this place. You can do as I did a decade ago and ask Jesus, using David's words, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Can you imagine it? To have your shame or guilt and remorse turned to joy. Joy! Is it even possible? Imagine a deep, abiding sense of wholeness, correctness, dare we say, righteousness. Joy! The word as it leaves your lips imparts a smile on the face, if even momentarily. to know beyond all doubt that you belong in this world, are loved beyond your human understanding, and to be at peace with all of creation in every way, joy. But repentance is not something that we do on our own. In fact, we can't do it for ourselves at all. That's why Jesus came. That's why the Father sent him. That's why the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit to us at Pentecost to convict us, like the prophet Nathan convicted David, because in and of ourselves, it is impossible to make ourselves right with a holy God. We are unable to stand in his presence, but the Son can, Jesus can, and he does. So today is not a sad day, nor is Lent a sad season. The word Lent comes to us from the Old English and is translated into the word spring, or as a time of renewal, of new growth, of pruning and cultivating, seeding and planting, of making preparations for a fresh harvest to come at the end of summer. But this is only possible if we make room for the new, for the good, and the holy. King David presents us a key, a statement of faith, boldly expressing his desire to have God redeem him fully, and to have God redeem us fully. David knows that. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Heed his wisdom. As David asked, perhaps someone here tonight needs to ask. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God of my salvation. But David goes further and offers himself in service to God, not that he is bargaining for his life. Rather, he is expressing his deepest desire to be useful to the Lord again, to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. David declares, I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. And finally, David asks for God to return joy to his lips when he says, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. This is the act of humility, the act of surrender to a power greater than ourselves, and it is beautiful. This is spoken from a memory of deep joy as David seeks out the joyfulness of his relationship with the Lord again. Speak it aloud with me. As God, who has allowed his joy to return to my lips, let it be the beginning of a renewed spiritual journey for you, together. Turn back in your bulletin to page 5. And go to verse 15. And repeat with me. O Lord. Together. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Now stay on that page. Does this feel hard to say? Are you noticing some resistance in yourself at this very moment? Then let's simply return to the beginning of the psalm as we say it together on page 4, starting at verse 1. Please pray with me. Have mercy on me, Jesus, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Amen. This is the posture of humility and repentance. Rinse and repeat as needed. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty Father, who of thy great love to men didst give thy dearly beloved Son to die for us, grant that through his cross our sins may be put away and remembered no more against us, and that, cleansed by his blood and mindful of his sufferings, we may take up our cross daily and follow him in newness of life until we come to his everlasting kingdom through the same thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.